Proper parenting takes courage and sacrifice. But what happens to our world when we hear the devastating news that our newborn baby has been diagnosed with a debilitating or life-threatening condition? Does our faith in God sustain us? How does living with and providing for a disabled child affect the rest of the family? Do the rules change when it comes to raising kids in these circumstances? And how can we best assist and encourage our friends who might have kids with special needs? These are just some of the questions we'll be tackling today on Licensed to Parent. Hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent once again. We are the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta. Each week we try to bring the lessons learned inside the gates of Shepherd's Hill outside so you can be the proactive parent that God designed you to be and avoid needing a residential program for your teen. And, Trace, you know, when parents hear the news that their precious and long-awaited offspring is going to require special attention for the rest of his life, that's got to be a tremendous blow to any couple, and I know that you and your family face that as well.
Yeah, we sure do, Rich. We know that all too well. We're going to be talking to a man today that addresses this very issue in a way that I think will be not only enlightening, but encouraging and comforting to our listeners as well, whether you're a parent of a disabled child or simply know someone who is.
Right. And today's guest, let me go ahead and introduce him, is a man named Steve Bundy. Steve is the vice president of the Johnny and Friends Christian Institute on Disability and International Outreach. That's the educational and public policy arm of Johnny and Friends. Collaborating with universities and seminaries across the U.S. and, in fact, all around the world, overseeing the more than 80 mission outreaches of Johnny and Friends in over 30 countries every year. Steve is also a published author of several books, including his latest, which we'll be unpacking today, Another Kind of Courage, God's Design for Fathers of Families Affected by Disability, that book co-written with Doug Massa. Steve and his wife, Melissa, have a child with special needs. Their own son, Caleb, was born with muscular dystrophy and autism. Steve holds a BA in theology and missions. He's got a certificate in Christian apologetics and an MA in organizational leadership, most of which would probably help all of us become better parents if we had all of those degrees and certificates ourselves.
Amen.
Steve, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Trace and Rich. It's great to be with you today, and I look forward to our conversation.
As do we. Brother, tell us a little bit about your book, Another Kind of Courage, and what exactly motivated you to write it.
Well, Another Kind of Courage is a book that actually I co-wrote with our president here at Johnny and Friends, Doug Massa, who is also a father of a child with special needs. And, you know, together, Doug and I, we've looked at the landscape for years, watching families struggle with their child with special needs and watched marriages struggle. And we decided that we wanted to put together a book that would really help dads navigate this new journey they found themselves in. Mm-hmm. You know, most dads don't wake up wishing that they had a child born with special needs. And so when this life comes into their lives, they don't often know how to navigate this path they find themselves on. And so we want to help dads through both the things we've done right and the things we've learned the hard way that we haven't done right. And that was the motivation behind the book.
God bless you for it. Steve, as a dad, what went through your mind the moment you knew your child was in trouble?
Oh, I tell you, Trace, it was a very difficult season in my life. You know, I wish I had the testimony that I stood tall in my faith. You know, I was unwavering. But the reality is I struggled tremendously with my faith in God. Mm-hmm. I was trying to reconcile my son's lot in life, which I knew to be a difficult one, with the goodness of God. And it was a difficult season for me to work through lots of questions I had, both for God and for the church. And I don't think I'm too uncommon, you know, from a lot of dads out there that have had those kinds of questions. You know, God, why my child?
Mm-hmm. So you feel it's normal to doubt God during these times?
You know, I would say it's normal to have those kinds of questions, to have those kinds of doubts. And one step further, I don't think God minds. you know?
He's a big God.
I think, yeah, he's a big God, exactly. He's a big God. He can handle the questions, sure. You know? And the goodness of God is that in his tenderness, you know, he doesn't lash out at us. There's no judgment there. My experience and those that I've ministered to is God is there to put a warm blanket around us and say, you know what, son? I'm here for you.
Yeah.
I know you don't understand everything, but I am at work. And if you let me, I will lead you and guide you and be your father.
How did you overcome these doubts, Steve?
You know, for me, it was really a couple of years of searching and praying, of seeking answers in Scripture, of really trying to unpack who is God, the character of God. A great deal of it came through a fellowship with other men of God, you know, brothers in the Lord that I could turn to, mm-hmm. who didn't judge me, they didn't criticize me, they just allowed me to express myself, and they loved me back in return. Mm-hmm. And so part of my journey was really surrendering to God. What is your plan? Now that I have relinquished my plan for my family and my plan for my son and for my life, Lord, not my will but yours, what is now your plan for my son, mm-hmm. for my family, and for my own life? And my testimony is that God has done more through the life of my son than I could have ever imagined he would do. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I've got to be a part of the, yeah, I've got to join on for the ride, you know. I've been a part of what God has been doing through my son, and so I get to see the other side of the goodness of God in using his life to minister to others.
Awesome. Well, Steve, after overcoming your doubt about God, and God's back in the picture again, now we have the option to be angry at God. Describe that. Did you have any feelings of anger toward God? And what do you say to folks who can't help but feel anger toward God when something like this happens in their life?
You know, I did experience anger. In fact, we write about that a great deal in this book, Another Kind of Courage, because, you know, anger is often a kind of a natural expression, and it really comes from a couple of areas that we elaborate on the book. It comes from fear. And pride. And those are two things that I know most men out there listening don't struggle with these issues, but I certainly do.
Yeah.
Both fear and pride.
You're a male.
And so, and there's a lot of fear when it comes to having a child with special needs. I mean, you feel so inadequate, you know. What do I do now? I have this child who seems to be broken. And I'm not even sure what to do with a typical developing child, much less a child with special needs. And so all this fear runs through a man, and he's afraid of the future. He's afraid of his own emotions. Often it's a fear of now, you know, who is this God I thought that I knew?
Mm-hmm.
And then there are issues of pride. I mean, let's face it. Every man wants to boast. You know, that they've got the child who can hit the home run or throw the winning touchdown or you know, play a special piece on the piano or whatever. I mean, that's very mm-hmm. natural for us to want to take pride in our children.
They're extensions of us.
Yeah, they are extensions of us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so many times a father will see a child as a reflection, an extension of themselves. And there are these areas of ego and pride that enter into us as dads that we've got to wrestle with. But the result of fear and pride is often anger.
Yeah.
Because those two clash, they come together, and as men, we struggle with understanding our emotions. We don't like the fact that we are emotional creatures.
Or admitting we have them.
Or even articulating them.
Mm-hmm.
How do you even articulate the emotions I'm feeling, much less understand them?
Oh, yeah.
And so oftentimes the result of that is anger. And who are you going to point that anger to? Well, you know, God
yeah.
often is the first one we point our anger towards, because we feel like God, it was in his control. He allowed our child to be born with special needs. But the other reality of anger, Trace, is that often the wife becomes also then the person that our anger is targeted towards, and it disrupts marriage in tremendous ways. So anger is something we have to address as men, and we talk about that in this book.
I know one of the things you mentioned a moment ago was the amount of not only soul searching, but scripture searching that went on for you when you were first, you know, dealing with these emotions and these issues. I think to step to the side a moment, there's a lot of faulty scripture use that goes on among friends who may want to come alongside you and give you some word of encouragement, but I'm... taking a little bit out of context, I'm thinking back to Job and all of his friends with the wonderful counsel they gave him about, you know, why he was in the shape he was in. If we have friends who are going through this, how should we approach this in encouraging comfort coming alongside our friends who may be facing the challenging next few years of dealing with, you know, a child with particular disabilities? What's our role in that regard?
Hey, that's a great question. You know, we don't have to look far to find families that are affected by disabilities. When you think about the globe, the planet itself, and the population, statistics show us that there are 1 billion people on this planet that have some form of a disability. And when we begin to narrow it down to America here in the U.S., 19% of the population has a disability, and when you begin to look at the diagnosis of autism among our kids today, it's such a growing epidemic. But the best way that we can come alongside families that are affected by disability, especially with their children, is to simply befriend them in a way you would any other family, right? And so it's a matter of coming alongside and saying, hey, you know, how can we help? How can we assist? Would you mind telling me more about your son or your daughter? And what's their name? What are they like? How can we come alongside and befriend you? And that means so much to families. You know, one time I had someone ask me, they said, is it offensive if I come and I ask you, you know, can you tell me about Caleb's diagnosis? I said, absolutely not. I said, are you kidding?
Right.
Parents love it when people inquire about their children.
It's therapeutic. Just like
yeah, exactly. It's very therapeutic. And I said, in fact, what is offensive is when you ignore my child or you ignore us as a family because maybe you're not quite sure what to do. It's uncomfortable. Right. And so you just go around us. You don't get to know us. I said, that begins to feel lonely. But to come up and to befriend and engage and then inquire, how can we serve your family? Do you need a break? Do you and your spouse need to go out and have dinner together? Can we watch the kids? You know, I don't really know how to maybe care for Johnny or Susie or whoever the child is, but I'm willing to learn if you teach me. Oh, that means so much to families. It's a ministry. It really is.
Huge. That is huge.
Yeah.
How did you deal with fellow believers? I know in my particular situation, I had people saying, we know that child's healed in Jesus' name. God doesn't operate that way.
Well, that's some of the faulty scripture that I was talking about, is people speaking perhaps out of turn without really understanding God's, you know, purpose and place in this.
Yeah, and it's easy to you know, give a backhanded remark to people like that, you know, because... sometimes it takes more faith to deal with a decision that God has made. I'm giving you this child. I mean, one of the most comforting things for me, and maybe you've experienced this as well, Steve, but of all the people who came up to me and said things like that, and there were many, one man came up to me, he's a good friend of mine, and he just looked at me when I told him, because at the time we thought our son was diagnosed with Down syndrome. And in the womb, and he just looked at me, he teared up, and he said, Trace, I can't think of two better parents for a little Down syndrome children than you and Beth. And that gave me more comfort than anything that anybody else ever said. Did you have any experience like that?
Oh, boy, do I. I tell you, part of, I can completely relate, Trace, part of, I think, my disillusionment, if you will, when my son was born, was we had so many, as you said, well, good intentioned, you know, believers coming around us, and they were claiming healing for my child. They were quoting scripture, and they were resisting the devil from having an impact on his health, and they were praying for our faith, that our faith would be increased so that our son would be healed. Yeah. And I tell you, in none of that was there consideration for the plan of God.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know,
what is God doing? I mean, if he knit my child together in his mother's womb, what is his plan for my child? Mm-hmm. Even my child born into this very imperfect world with all of his disabilities and his faults. And so what often happens is it breeds disillusionment among families, because what these wonderful folks are saying unintentionally is this: your child is not acceptable. That's really what's happening. Yeah. Your child is not acceptable until they're fixed, or until they're repaired, or until they're healed. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I write in our book, I tell my story of how I come to a place of really beginning to understand the unconditional love of God.
Oh, boy.
Like I've never known before.
Yeah.
In recognizing, hey, I'm the one that's broken. I'm the one that was loved in all my imperfections and my own disabilities.
Right.
Here is God reaching out and dying for me and accepting me and not requiring me to be fixed before I'm loved. And that was really the eye-opener for me, is realizing that is how God welcomed me into his family, and that's how I'm to welcome my son into our family.
Amen, brother.
We're speaking with Steve Bundy today. Steve is the co-author of the book, Another Kind of Courage, God's Design for Fathers of Families Affected by Disability. And Steve, when we come back, I'd like you to address some of the challenges that may be unique to fathers of special needs kids, since that's largely what your book focuses on. Again, this is Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry. We'll be back after this. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. Welcome back to Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosl, and our guest today is Steve Bundy, who is the co-author of the book, Another Kind of Courage, God's Design for Fathers of Families Affected by Disability. And Steve, right before the break, I had asked if you might address some of the challenges that really are unique to dads of special need kids. What is it that men have to deal with that perhaps the moms don't see?
Great question. You know, obviously, so many of the typical challenges a dad will have in raising children, they're going to have when it comes to a special needs child. I would add this, to some degree, those issues and those challenges are going to be magnified. with a child with special needs. So in other words, you know, us men don't typically have great patience. We're not the nurturing type, which is why God gave us moms.
You know? Thank God.
So you take a dad who's not naturally the nurturing type, and he has a special needs child, and already the patience it will require for a dad with a toddler is going to be magnified when you have a child with special needs. Mm-hmm. That dad's going to need to slow down. He's going to need to be more patient. He's going to need to be a little more thoughtful when he plans out the week and he's trying to keep his wife in mind and maybe the other siblings in mind. And so often, in many cases, there's going to be additional scheduling of appointments like therapies or doctor's appointments that he had not planned on being a part of his life.
Right.
There's going to be interruptions oftentimes, even in his career. I know many fathers who have had to resign from a particular career simply because they could no longer commit and dedicate those numbers of hours to travel because they needed to be there for their child with special needs. And so these are some of the challenging issues that dads may not be prepared for. And they need to consider, obviously, when a child is born with special needs. A couple of things we address in the book, specifically along these lines, is marriage and the other children. What about the other siblings in the family?
I know a high divorce rate is something you see in a lot of families where there are children with disability. Is that part of the marriage issue that you're talking about, is how to avoid heading down the road to divorce?
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, one of the things we address is the issue of communication. As men, we're not natural communicators already. You know, I've been married 22 years and I still have to work at not giving my wife the stereotypical response of everything's fine when she asks.
How was your day? Fine.
Yeah, I was fine. Yeah, how was the program? Fine. it's just, we have to work at and be very intentional on our communication, we talk about this on the chapter of marriage. You know, the other thing we talk about, and this is why this book is good for women also.
Yeah.
Because they can read it and they can better understand what their husbands are going through. So we even get into issues about romance. Because when you have a child that's in crisis, all of your energy can be spent on that particular child.
That's right.
And if you're not careful, it comes at the expense of the other family members, your wife and your other children. And those relationships begin become in a state of needing to be repaired if we're not careful. And so we talk about how do you keep romance in the marriage. And that's a challenge for guys because we spell romance one way and women spell it a different way. And so we talk about what's it look like to date your wife again and to make her a priority, because it's very easy to lose that when you're in crisis mode with a special needs child.
I'm exhausted. I mean, there was a whole year where my wife didn't sleep one evening the whole year. I mean, not one. And so exhaustion's a big part of that. How does a parent of a special needs child find the balance when it comes to biblical discipline? I'm thinking of a kid with autism. You know, how does that balance with the traditional scriptural idea of parenting and discipline? I mean, how do you know what to do there?
That's a great question. And you know, let me start by saying, first of all, to those families and parents who don't have a child with special needs, I would ask that you walk in grace with those families that do have children, Amen. Especially with autism. Remember the days when, before you got married and you had said, hey, when we get married, we'll never argue like that couple, right?
Don't ever say that. You'll always get into trouble.
Exactly. And remember the days before you had children and you said, oh, well, our children will never be unruly or need discipline like that. Our children will be well-behaved. And then you have children and you're on the other side of the fence. And I would just say, take that one more step. If you have a child with special needs, and give grace to these families, because they're dealing with all the unexpected things you deal with in marriage and in raising children, all the things you didn't expect, the disciplinary challenges. but there's an extra layer often of complexity when it comes to issues, especially when it around autism or other behavioral type challenges for children whose minds don't regulate and process information like a typical developing child. And so those biblical principles of parenting, they still apply. Everything the Bible has to say about love and compassion and goodness and investing in our children, the Word of God in our children, all applies. But we have to look at that unique child and in unique ways to apply discipline, find those boundaries, and grace when it comes to raising that child.
And not to be cliche, but doesn't that come down to learning and knowing God? I mean, it goes back to getting into His stride. I was going to ask you: is on the other side of the coin, do we tend to cut kids with disabilities too much slack sometimes when it comes to what's expected of them? It's easy to expect too little from them sometimes, just because some professional's given them a label.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. As parents, again, coming back to understanding your child and what's expected of them. And most parents I know and I work with, they set pretty high expectations on their child. You know, they're not giving them just a free pass. Mm-hmm. And so they want their child to grow. They want their child to excel. They want their child to be able to socialize and get along with other kids. You know, it breaks their heart when their child has meltdowns or difficult times interacting socially. And so parents learn their child, and they come to a place of setting those expectations, those boundaries, and do the best they can to set those guardrails for their child to have really a meaningful, healthy relationships as they grow up.
Yeah. The term grace, I think, hit the nail on the head. Yep.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for being on the program
thank
today.
You,
it's been a real treat to talk with you today.
Well, I tell you, Trace, Rich, it has been my honor, and I've been blessed just to visit and be able to share, and I hope that those listening are encouraged and continue to find God's path for their lives.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
Well, our guest today is Steve Bundy. He's the Vice President of the Johnny and Friends Christian Institute on Disability and International Outreach. He's also co-author of the book, Another Kind of Courage, God's Design for Fathers of Families Affected by Disability. You can find that book and learn more about the work Steve does at Johnny and Friends by going to johnnyandfriends.org. And that's Johnny, spelled J-O-N-I, johnnyandfriends.org. And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. Learn more at LicensedToParent.org. And while you're there, you can also pick up some past programs, you can check out Trace's blog, and pay a visit to the new Licensed to Parent store, where you'll find some parenting resources that we hope will help you navigate the challenging times that we live in today in raising your teens. Again, that address is LicensedToParent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next time to renew your License to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.